Matthew 26. I stayed up a long time yesterday and last night, and I hope not to keep you that long. But I feel like this is the direction the Lord would have us to go in this morning. I want to say it's good to see you here. Turn around and tell somebody it's good to see you at church this morning. Better than the best jail I know. We could all be in Haiti or hell this morning. The Bible said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse 14, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me? And I'll deliver him to you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Matthew 27. Verse number 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I've sinned in that I've betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Thank you for standing this morning. I'm interested in Matthew 26, verse 15 for a title. The Bible said, he said unto them, what will you give me? And I'll deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. I will preach on this simple Bible thought this morning on selling your soul to the devil. Selling your soul to the devil. Judas Iscariot has a name among the ranks of some of the most wicked people in the world. Judas Iscariot holds a name amongst the leagues of Hitler and Hussein and bin Laden. When you know anything about the Bible and Judas Iscariot's name comes up, you begin to think of a man that sold his soul to the devil. I want to tell you, first of all, way of introduction this morning on this sermon. Just quote your price, and the devil will be sure that you get it. In this text of reading, you'll notice, first of all, there's a neglected privilege. Look what the Bible said. Then one of the 12. Devil, you ain't shutting my voice down this morning. Then one of the 12, a neglected privilege. He was one of the 12. Isn't that amazing? In Luke 6, in verse number 12, I want you to notice his neglected privilege. The Bible said in Luke 6, in verse 12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. I would venture to say if some of us tried that on a Friday night, it'd change our Saturday morning. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples and Of them he chose 12, of whom also he named apostles. Simon, Andrew his brother, James, John, Philip, and Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. He came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him to be healed of their diseases. Aren't you glad he's still the great healer this morning? And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. Now his neglected privilege, honey, he was one of the 12, one of the 12 disciples, and then named one of the 12 apostles. He was an eyewitness of the miracles of Jesus. Isn't it amazing how people can see how Jesus has changed people by a miracle from God and still turn around and give their soul to the devil? Isn't it amazing not only did he see the miracles of Christ, but he was a hearer of the messages that God spoke. Many times Jesus would get up and begin to preach and say that he was sent to heal the brokenhearted, and he would begin to preach peace and comfort and compassion. And there in the audience of Jesus sat Judas Iscariot, hearing a sermon like not many people were ever privileged to hear. It amazes me the privilege that God gives people in this Bible Belt of America. You ought to thank God, honey, that you're able to sit on a pew this morning in an old-time, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church where Jesus is exalted and the gospel's preached and the Holy Ghost moves and it's still an altar you can come around and get help by the grace of God. His neglected privilege. My goodness, one of the 12, that was his chance. But the Bible said he went and hanged himself. That was his choice. You see, God has given you a chance, but you must make a choice. I hear people say, well, you don't have to make a choice for Jesus. If you don't, you'll die and go to hell in your sin. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shine. And I don't care what any liberal, spineless preacher trying to change the gospel this morning, honey. Hell is the real deal if you're not born again. He said you must be born again. It's not an option. You're not going to try to live good and get there. And if your goodness outweighs your bad. Honey, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Preacher, I don't like your loudness, and I don't like your red face and your voice. Neither did a man like Judas. Neglected privilege. What a privilege to sit around this. The devil hates this. That's why he's brought so much entertainment in our churches in the day and hour we live. See, this changes lives. This fixes homes. And if we had entertainment going on here this morning, some little tickling sermon, or some little hobo magician, some type of little cracker box thing going on, it wouldn't change your life. But honey, you get down in the resources of this. This is a living Bible. It'll change your day, friend. Oh my goodness, his neglected privilege. I wonder how many times people have neglected the great privilege to hear the sound of the glorious gospel that Jesus hung on an old rugged cross and shed His blood for the sins of the world. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad Jesus died for all this morning. His neglected privilege. Number two, His noted principle. talking about selling your soul to the devil. A noted principle. It's in John 12 and verse number 3. I want you to see that this morning. John 12 and verse number 3. I read it this morning a little bit. We'll get it in verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. I'm glad I'm sitting around the table with him this morning. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Wiped his feet with a hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He said, now watch your Bible. A noted principle, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And had the bag and bare or took up what was put therein. Why, he was the noted treasurer of the church and he took up the money and he felt like it was his. Can I go and tell you this morning, honey, this ain't our money, it's God's money. I don't like the way y'all spend money around here with all these missionaries and ministry. Keep it. Keep it. That's why you don't see no name on nothing in this church, honey. It ain't ours. To God be the honor and the glory. Well, I give the money to buy a pew. Take it home with you. We don't want it. To God be the honor and the glory. We see this noted principle. Well, preacher, what's this noted principle? He was always interested in what he could get out of life, but he was never interested in what he could give into a life. That's a lot of times the Judas attitude. What can he get from life instead of what he can give into another life? Matter of fact, I love what Jesus said. Let her alone, boys. She's doing a wonderful work on me. She broke the alabaster box. He said, it's not a waste. Honey, anything except for ministry is a waste. You've heard it a long time. You've heard it said over and over. But oh, how easy it is for us to forget things. A man died, went to heaven. He'd been there a while. A man come by and said, you've been here a while. What have you learned? He said, sir, I've learned 3 things since I've been here. He said, I learned what I spent down there I lost. And he said, I learned what I saved I left. But he said, I've learned what I gave. Glory to God, I have. Some of you going to have a lot waiting on you because you give a lot. Some of you going to have nothing because you've squandered away and you put it in a bank. Afraid God might not know how to use it better than you do. But you're going to lose it. And this morning in Judas Iscariot, I've always kept my eye on people that didn't want to spend money for ministry. Honey, when you've got a problem with somebody helping a missionary, you got a problem with somebody buying a family a new car that's out serving the Lord, you've got a problem. We ain't got the problem. You got the stinking problem. You probably think you'd run this preacher too, but I got news for you, honey. I ain't got a snap on the back of my collar. A noted principle. He is always interested in what he could get out of life instead of what he could put into life. Third, selling your soul to the devil. Not only a neglected privilege and a noted principle, but thirdly, there's a notorious possibility. Be careful that you say, I won't sell to the devil. John 13 and 21. Watch what the Bible said. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. He said, "Ain't no way, Lord." He said, "Buddy, we think." He said, "Us 12 together, Lord, we've seen you rebuke the wind. Lord, we've seen you make the waves lay down. Lord, we've seen you touch the blind. We've seen you raise the dead." They looked around and said, "The Lord's got to be confused. Ain't, you know, we're above all of that. That's our problem, honey. When we think we're above a fall, hang on. Grab your breeches up tight. You're fixing to hit hard." Don't say it won't be me. And oh, let me tell you something about raising young'uns. Don't never, ever say my young'uns won't. Because your young'uns will and my young'uns will. Don't say your wife won't, because your wife will. Don't say you won't, sir, because you will. In the right place and time, you better watch yourself. Couldn't be us, man. I mean, man, we have a ride. We church-going people. We tote Bibles, man. I mean, we pay our tithes. We done wash feet, Lord. Well, I mean, we just like this. But the whole time a Judas was in the crowd and nobody knowed it. But somebody knowed it. Oh, now we know, we watch this notorious possibility. They said, "Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake." You know, Simon Peter, he's a lot like me. His attention span was real short. And a lot of time his mouth engaged before his brain did. But something about Peter I like. Buddy, you wouldn't push him in the corner and run over him and say, "Now just sit over there and don't say nothing." He said, "Lord, I want to know in this outfit who ain't for you." I said, "They ain't going to be in this outfit long." He said, I'm not going to be sitting around with folks that don't like you, Lord. Can I get a witness? I like him. I mean, I do like him. I mean, honey, he said, "You get in this thing. You just quit fooling around with it." I like people get in. I wish you'd get in Liberty Baptist Church much as you are in Walmart. I wish you'd get in Liberty Baptist Church much as you are on Facebook and Internet. My goodness, I wish you'd get in this thing. And so, he said, "Lord, tell me who it is. Lord, I want to know who it is." Now watch your Bible. "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I've dipped it, or a piece of bread." And when he had dipped the sop, you know, that's something, an old Bible term we forgot about, sopping. Anybody know what I'm talking about this one? Anybody ever had any of that old-time molasses or sorghum syrup, got you a big cut of butter and put in that stuff and stirred it around in it till it turned just milky white, got you a homemade biscuit, praise God, get you a fork and put it on that, and when it's all gone, you go to sopping. I wish some of y'all would go to sopping in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I mean, you just couldn't get enough. You just had to sop and get it all out. He said, "The one I give the sop to," he said, "you're going to know." So now watch the Bible. This notorious possibility. "No man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him." Verse 29. "For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, Jesus said to him, 'Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, so that he should give something to the poor.' And he then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. Therefore, when he has gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified and God is glorified. Now, if this will give you a pencil to underline something, never forget it. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Here it is, verse 33. Judas Iscariot just went out. Look what Jesus said the first time he ever said it in the Bible. Little children. Some people say, well, Judas was saved and he backslid and went to hell. That's a lie. Yes, Judas was a lost man. Judas never gave his heart to Christ. And so Jesus said when Judas left out, he called them little children for the first time. Yet a little while I'm with you, you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. Now say, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Also as I loved you, that you also love one another. By this, look here, church. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Notorious possibility. You see, you can often be by the Lord's side, but never on the Lord's side. It's possible to be by the Lord's side, but yet never on the Lord's side. Selling your soul to the devil. Judas Iscariot was a lost church member riding a pew to hell. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying there is a notorious possibility. Let us learn that a man may enjoy great privileges and make great religious professions, and yet his heart all the time was never right before God. Then, not only this notorious possibility, but fourthly, I want to talk about there's a negotiated price. It amazes me what this feller done. In Luke 22 and 5, watch your Bible. Luke 22 and 5. The Bible said, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. The Bible said that in verse number 4, he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. The Bible speaks of the covenanted in the book of John, that he covenanted with them for 30 pieces of silver. You know what that word covenanted means? It means bargained. He walked in and he said, boys, what will you give me to turn him over to you? The devil knows your price. 30 minutes of pleasure. 30 minutes in a bad business deal. You know, a lot of times we sell Christ for a pitiful price. You know what his problem was? He didn't think enough of Jesus. He only took 30 pieces of silver. You know what that was in the equality of our money today? $20 bill, he sold Jesus. I know some folks that sold their soul to the devil a lot less than that. 30 pieces of silver was the price of a slave, was the price of an ox. And honey, I can tell you the reason a lot of times that we sell out to the devil, because we don't think enough of our Jesus. You know why churches sell out? They ain't got a high enough value upon Christ. You look around here this morning, honey. Jesus has done so many wonderful things. Could I put a value on what he's done for me? A lot of people say, well, now, preacher, since I've got saved, I tithe and give my money to the Lord. I'm dedicated. I'm faithful. And I just ain't got nothing. Oh, is that right? Is that right? You know, the devil will never show you what you got. But he's good at showing you what you ain't got. Last night we took our grandbaby, me and Mimi. Praise God, I'm getting old, granny. But Tim, we got ready to eat. You know what my grandbaby did? Before anybody said, when that food is served, that little old thing put her head down on the table. What's that worth? She knows somebody's fixing to pray in this outfit. Your baby's come down to the altar. What's that worth to you? I remember the other night, little old Mila, another one of our little old girls in the church, come over here in the corner, and one of them was a praying, the other one ran up there and put their little hand on them, went to petting and a pray. What's that worth? I know people's name the prize. Just a cheap word, and it was enough to blow them out. Some little hurt feeling is enough that they just sell out to the devil. Said, no, the value ain't high enough on Christ. It's all about me, me, me. Matter of fact, if you can get blowed out and wind out in the world, you didn't have a high enough value on Him. Because, honey, whatever comes my way, it ain't worth the price of what He's worth to me. Lord God, I'm a-preaching this morning, son. Lord, I got Holy Ghost bumps on me. I'm a-preaching this morning. Reason some of you little feelings get hurt and get knocked out of church, I tell you why. You didn't think enough of Christ.
That's exactly right.
You thought too much of you. Lord God, I got bumps running all over me this morning. You say, well, I'll get me a little weed. Won't hurt nothing. May blow you out. I'll get me a little drink. It ain't going to hurt nothing. Is that right? I'll slip around, run around on my wife a little bit. Nobody know. Imagine that's what that senator thought. Lord goodness, what a mess he's made of it. Let me go on while we're preaching. I won't never get to preach some of you again because you ain't got guts enough to come back. A lot of you say, I wish I could win the lottery. You probably don't. Most of them commit suicide. People talk about Tiger Woods, the greatest golfer in America. All the millions he's won. He made a wreck of it. You know why? No Holy Ghost. I wonder if somebody dumped millions in your lap, you had no Holy Ghost, what kind of idiot you'd be. Some of you act goofy enough with nothing with the Holy Ghost. Shake that new head right there this morning. Lord, I'd hate to know where this crowd would be if you hit the lottery. Selling your soul to the devil. I wonder what kind of price I got out there to make me quit serving God. What's He going to take to get me to hush? If I tell Him, I guarantee you He'll send it. Matter of fact, the devil's got more power in things of this world than what me and you know. I'll share that with you right quick. This is a good sermon. Somebody say, good preaching, preacher. Luke 4. Verse 1. Boy, I love it. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. It's amazing if you get full of Him, what kind of stuff leaves. Being 40 days, watch this, tempted of the devil. And in those days He did eat nothing. And when they were ended he afterward and hungered. And the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it's written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6, underline it, don't forget it. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. That lets me know all the time it ain't God giving it. Because if you'll quote a price, he'll be sure you'll get it. I wonder how many opportunities has the devil presented to you to get you away from Christ. You know, one of the biggest things that scared me to death about a family and pastoring, years of preaching and pastoring, I draw up when a family tells me this, we're moving off yonder for another job, okay? Where are you going to church? I don't know. We'll find one when we get there. You may not. The devil would love to give you something if you'll put a price on it. If my business can be so successful, I ain't got time for God. I guarantee you the devil will be sure you get it. Selling your soul to the devil. He had a low value of Jesus. Neglected privilege. What an opportunity. What an opportunity for you to get saved. What an opportunity. Neglected privilege. Noted principle. He's more interested in what he can get out of life than what he can give into life. Notorious possibility. Lord, who is it? It couldn't be none of us. A negotiated price. He covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Made a bargain. But lastly, there's a notice punishment. People die without Jesus, they die and go to hell. And I don't care what anybody said. I don't care how many funerals you've been to. And preachers tried to make up lies to soothe the family. Honey, if you don't live for Jesus, you've never been saved. And I say that because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. He's no respecter of persons. You must come by the way of the cross through the doorfold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Muslims are not our brothers. I noticed this morning in the state of Texas buys more school books than any state in America. The school book folks say, well, listen, we got to be able to pass this thing because if Texas don't buy books, we'll go broke. You know what these liberal, spineless people are trying to now indoctrinate our children? Take Christmas out of social studies. They say, well, if we're going to teach children about world religion, then we need to put in Muhammad and Buddha and Confucius. That's what's wrong with America this morning, honey. We went to hobnogging with the wrong crowd, and now we headed to hell. Nothing's wrong no more. I read something this week, got me, boy, it was good. A man was talking about, you know, Jesus said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We forgot about that separation from the world. There was a man, Brother Mike, had a canary that could sing like a mockingbird. It amazed people how his canary could sing. A man come over and he said, I've never heard nothing like that sing. He said, can I bring my two sparrows and put in the cage with your canary and you teach that canary? Can you teach them sparrows to sing like your canary? He said, sure can. Bring them and put them in the cage. He put the two sparrows in the cage with the canary. And yesterday had left. And now, certainly today unfolds and he walks in. And he hears his canary chirping. like the sparrows. And that's where we are. Because nothing's wrong no more. But honey, sin's still sin and hell's still hell. And I don't care if the church empties over this sermon this morning. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I don't believe you, preacher. Neither did Judas. But you look it up when you get home. Jesus said, it would have been better for this man that he was never born. So I close with this. A noted punishment. Acts 1 and 15. Those days Peter stood in the midst of the disciples and said, "Men and brethren, the Scriptures must need have been fulfilled, of which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus. For he is numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. He was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in their proper tongue, a Seldom, that is to say, the field of blood." Verse 23 of the appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fail, that he might go to his own place." Let me share if you come this morning for me. Last place I go is Mark 8:36. I want you to underline it this morning. I know I've said a lot of hard things, but it needs to be said. Mark 8, verse 36. He said in verse 34, "When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" There's a notice punishment. Selling your soul to the devil. I'd be careful about naming my price. I'd be careful about giving up my place. Say, "Well, preacher, I've been thinking about getting saved." Don't think too long. "Preacher, does Christ really love me? He loves you more than I can explain." Now, y'all tell me something. Let's don't ask how. Let's just ask why. Why would God reach in a hayfield in Middle Tennessee and draw me out? Let me meet my wife, a little old saved girl from Bowden, Georgia, to get me under the gospel that I may hear the preached word of God. And God save me. Forgive me of everything I'd ever done. Put me in the right crowd and call me to preach the gospel. Why would God do something like that for me? Brother Troy, why would God say something like you? Brother Jerry, why? I don't know why. All I can tell you is He loved us. Oh God, He loves us. Dear God in heaven, thank you for loving us. Boy, the Lord good. Don't sell your soul to the devil.